I'm Josefina Bonsundinvumba. Welcome to Retential Conversations, the podcast. I truly believe in the untapped potential existing in Africa and within African communities inside and outside of Africa, whose talent, hard work, and innovations can help and are helping transform our societies. I also believe in the value of stories and that by sharing, we can identify common lessons, challenges, and opportunities for growth. This podcast is for those interested in African narratives and topics that touch African communities, with the hope of creating a safe platform for open conversation, learning, and inspiration. I hope you're as excited as me and that you enjoy listening. Ta-da! Welcome again, everyone. Today we have Junior Debo, a young British Nigerian NHS doctor who tells us about how he got into medicine. It was very interesting to exchange with Junior, and it was actually very amusing. And it also kind of demonstrated how important our childhood activities and the passions that we have as children, it really can help us determine who we'll become and what we will do in the future. Junior in particular talks about how he enjoyed watching TV series of surgeons, how he felt fascinated by Dolly the sheep, and all of those things around his environment, coming from a family that really appreciated education and reading books, which ultimately led him to choose a career in medicine. I hope you enjoy listening.
My name's Debo. I am 27 years old. I am from London originally, grew up in London, but I'm originally from Nigeria, and I work as a doctor in the NHS.
So how do you actually find out what you were passionate about and what you wanted to do in the future?
At school, I just had a look at what subjects I liked a lot, and I found out that I got really interested in biology, and particularly human biology. I just was really fascinated about how the human body worked, and you know, why it worked this way and why it had worked that way. And there were just a couple of instances that I thought, okay, I'm interested in it, but I'm also pretty good at it. And so, you know, there was a couple of exams that I took in biology at school that I did, and you know, I got really, really good scores in there. And that kind of gave me the idea that, okay, you know, I could do something with kind of physiology, human biology, and I'm interested in it. And medicine just felt like a natural extension, because it felt like it would satisfy two needs. One was to do something that was interesting and that was always improving, and the second was to do something that was actually useful, socially useful.
How old were you when you made that decision?
I remember first saying I wanted to be a doctor from really young, and I think part of that was saying it because, you know, it's kind of the expected thing that you're supposed to say when you're born to immigrant parents in London. They're like, we want you to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, or so, you know. So I was like, I'm going to pick one of these. And so my friend, who was 2 years older than me, said he was going to be a doctor. So I was like, yeah, all right, I'll be a doctor too. So that was the first time. But I think the first time I really thought I was going to be a doctor was kind of year 9, year 10. And it was, I watched a documentary, kind of like a Channel 4 documentary on, you know, hospital and this surgeon that was operating on transplants. What he was doing just looked really cool. And so I was like, yeah, like, I, you know, that really appealed to me at the time. The other thing was that I grew up around a lot of books. My dad was studying law at the time when I was a kid. And so I'd always see him reading, because I, you know, wanted to be like him and I idolized him. I was like, I'd see him read as well. So he'd have his books and I'd have my book. Seeing him read made me want to read. And so I'd say, you know, a huge percentage, maybe 50%, if not more, of kind of me ending up doing something like medicine today came from kind of my parents kind of supporting me and seeing my parents reading and seeing education being something that was really valued in our house.
So what were the first steps that you had to take to turn that passion for biology, for medicine, into a reality?
So the first steps I had to take were, I think, was getting into medical school, and I was actually really bad about it. I didn't research very much about getting into medicine. I didn't really know what it took. I remember kind of my GCSEs. I'd done my GCSEs and I was going into A-levels, and I was like, I don't really know what subjects I'm going to do, but I quite like maths. I know I'm going to be good at maths, and I like biology, so I'll probably do those two. But then I remember reading up what you needed to get into medicine, and they're like, oh, most of them, you needed biology and chemistry. And I was like, oh, like, I don't think I'd really planned on taking chemistry, to be honest. But those were the first steps.
Do you have any particular role models? So anyone in particular that, you know, supported you on the way?
I think what motivated me to do medicine more than kind of the people or kind of a person or a mentor was just the things that were being done. So, you know, when I was a kid, I heard about Dolly the sheep and how that had been cloned. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I can clone. Like, at the time I was like, you know, by the time I can be a doctor and I can learn, I can clone myself and I can have two of me. Like, we can get twice as much. And I can have conversation. That was like how I thought it was going to happen. So I think what really motivated me to kind of continue was just seeing what was being done. I think it was just, they were just really cool things. And then all of the superheroes that I was, this might sound silly, but all of like the superheroes that I was really into were like wealthy people who were clever but had done it through science. So, you know, Batman was like, his company was like a scientist company. And then Spider-Man was a kid, but he was a really clever like science kid. And then Iron Man was like a really clever engineer type person, you know. So I think a lot of the like people that are fictionally that I looked up to, and a lot of people that in reality that I looked up to, were people who had gone through science and done, you know, some really cool stuff. And that was my main goal. My main goal was just to do just fun stuff.
What are the biggest challenges that you had to face then to pursue that career, and what are the biggest challenges that you face today in the profession as a doctor?
Some of the biggest challenges were fitting in. For me, I felt like I was a little bit of a non-conformist. I was a kid from the other side of the tracks. We were kind of first generation immigrants. I was born on a council estate, which is like government housing in the UK. I'd lived there for a few years, and then we'd moved and finally bought our own house. So I was very much like, we're on the come up in our family. And then kind of went to medical school. And I remember the first time I went to medical school, like I had a hoodie, I had a cap and everything. And then it was just all these like real, you know, well-to-do, quite posh, well-off guys and girls my same age as me. Who had an uncle or a dad or an aunt in medicine, and so kind of were used to that world. I wasn't, so I felt like it was a little bit of a learning curve. The actual academic side and the learning side was, I don't want to say it was easy, but it was pretty kind of convenient for me. Like I don't think I really ever struggled learning stuff at medical school. The real challenge for me in going forward pursuing medicine is making sure I don't narrow myself. I think it's very easy, particularly you're in a system which is kind of focused on outcomes and outputs. Just be, you know, the doctor that sees more patients and the doctor that does more procedures and the doctor, and, you know, kind of to churn through procedures and churn through patients. Oh, I saw 50 patients, you know, today or whatever. I did, you know, 10 surgeries today. And you're rewarded for a very procedural based kind of approach to medicine. But that wasn't why I got into medicine in the first place. The reason why I got into medicine was because of the cool things that I thought were happening. So I think to make sure that I try and steer my career in a way that allows me to practice medicine, but also allows me to practice on medicine. And by that is kind of be on at the edge of kind of new things that are coming into it. I'm learning new things that are coming into medicine and being in that environment and in that space, because I think, you know, that's where I'm happiest.
Do you think in any sense that your racial identity or your social cultural background has influenced the way people see your work or the success of your work and the way people perceive you.
Someone said, for black people, things are always twice the magnitude. So if you do something good as a black person, you know, people give you twice the amount of praise than you deserve. And if you do something bad as a black person, people give you twice the amount of criticism. And so I've definitely felt that in medicine. Like, I feel like I've had a lot of adulation and praise and support from not only people within my culture, because I feel people within my culture feel like, you've hit the holy grail, you're a doctor now, like, this is amazing. And then I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from, you know, just the community, society in general. Like, very few people I've met has given me a negative response to me saying I'm a doctor, and they almost feel like they have to go on this kind of monologue about how amazing the NHS is and how amazing doctors are and how they would support the NHS and they always supported the NHS and things of that nature.
So what are you most proud of?
I feel like I haven't done very much to be proud of. I think at the end, yeah, what I am most proud of, or what I am happiest about, is the fact that I was able to turn my dream, as it were, into a reality. Society tells you to be realistic with stuff, or to, you know, temper your vision or your imagination. But what I'm most proud of and most excited about is the fact that I said, I really like this aspect, you know, studying this aspect of human society, which was human biology and science. And this is the part I'm going to pursue. And I pursued it and, you know, I achieved it. Just proof that you can, if you're willing to put the work in, and even if you are making some mistakes, if you're willing to kind of focus and put the work in, then, you know, the universe has a way of aligning with you to give you kind of what you want.
And what do you think are the biggest obstacles or hurdles to achieving personal or professional goals?
I think, first of all, the biggest hurdle is always yourself. You're always fighting your bad habits, which will prevent you from achieving. So, you know, not thinking things through. Being lazy, or not having big enough dreams, and not really kind of saying no, you know, never sell yourself short. Probably the other biggest obstacle is listening to people who may not have your best interests at heart. One of the things I've learned is that if you want to do something, you need to find people who are two things, who one, have done at least what you've done, if not more. And because they have perspective, they can guide you. And two, who also have your best interests at heart, because they will be benevolent towards you. They will be, you know, they won't have any sort of maliciousness towards yourself and towards your well-being. And I think, you know, you should seek out those people and listen to those people. So you shouldn't let, and I think it's very easy for you to kind of let, you know, other people, whether it be friends or colleagues or people you're around, kind of influence what decisions you make, you know, or what people think is cool at the time to influence what decisions you make. But I think, you know, you need to have a little bit of internal fortitude to say, you know, I'm going to listen to these people who I respect and I admire and who have my best interests at heart, and I'm not going to listen to anyone else.
So what would you tell your younger self?
I'd tell myself a couple of things. I would tell myself, one, go to what draws you. Go to what you're naturally interested in. You know, I could have probably done something else, because there were other things that I was also naturally interested in, and I could have done something else. But I knew that I didn't. I knew that there was stuff that I didn't like, and I shouldn't do. And I think, even if that what you don't like is popular or fun, like, don't do that. You know, go to what you naturally enjoy. The other thing I would advise I'd give to myself is experiment. You know, experiment. The only way you can find out about stuff is if you try it for a while and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, that's fine. You can move on. You will eventually find something that fits you. Third thing I would say is, do your due diligence, do your research. One of the things that caught me blinded was you know, not researching and not finding out what things are, you know, useful, what things you need to do to get into medicine. And I'd say do your research, because this world is competitive. You know, there are more people wanting to do the great things than there are people doing great things. That's why they're great things. They have a disproportionate amount of people wanting to do them compared to people who can actually do them. Part of the way to earn it is to make sure you're doing your research and you're putting yourself in a position where you are best placed to earn it, because there are other people who are competing with you just as you are competing with other people.